Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Back to the Femi Pod for episode 138. Today I'm joined by the incredible Bex Atwell, the Femi strength specialist who thrives on helping women grow confidence in themselves. Bex is a qualified personal trainer with a love of lifting weights and building strength. She brings both practical and academic expertise to her work as she is currently pursuing her PhD at the University of Canterbury, focusing on the impact of the menstrual cycle on recovery and training. Welcome back to the podcast, Bex. How are you? It's been a wee while.
Hey, Liz. It has been a while. I'm so excited to be here. And thank you so much for such a lovely introduction as well.
Oh, we are honoured to have you here. Before we get into any of our strength-specific questions, how are you and how is all your training going?
It is finally going good. I feel like I've been on a good roll. My strength training, I've actually been building some strength. I managed to hit a couple of bodyweight pull-ups yesterday, which I was really stoked with. So I've been trying to, I used to be able to do them weighted, and then I haven't done them for a long time, and I've been trying to do them again. So it was cool to see some progress. And then running is also slowly increasing. I'm just trying not to rush it, because after I hurt my back like 2 months ago, it's just been a really slow progress to like return to running and get myself in a spot where I can like train consistently and not have to manage it. But yeah, definitely feeling like I'm in a good spot, which is very exciting.
Very, very exciting. And there's something about pull-ups, eh? I feel like as a woman, doing a pull-up is so empowering, but it's also like one of the hardest movements you can do. I feel like I've been on my own personal journey where I did a lot of like pull-up specific work about 5 years ago, and I feel like I got up to maybe like six, and now I reckon I could do like maybe two, and it's hard.
Yeah, and I think you lose it so quickly as well. It's not really, especially like upper body strength for women. Like, yes, you can build it, but if you're not like practicing it continuously, it's so easy to lose, which can be so frustrating.
Totally. All right, we're going to jump into some questions. If anybody hasn't listened to our last episode that we did with Bex, we did quite a lot of deep diving into the menstrual cycle and how we can train around the cycle. So if you haven't listened to that one, definitely go back and listen to that one. We'll pop it into the show notes. But today we're going to just chat more about general strength for runners and why it's so important, as well as touch on some fitness industry fads and why or why not we want to stay clear of them. But firstly, obviously you love the gym and you love strength training. What is it about strength training that you love so much?
My love for strength training started like when I was very first left high school and I was kind of coming out from, or I finished high school and I was doing a lot of running, hated strength training, and then was kind of overrunning. And I was like, I need something obviously for my mental health. And then I guess just getting into the gym and realizing like I started off so weak and you just see progress so quickly. And I think that was really exciting. Like you don't have to wait for a race to run a PB or like to get a PB. You can be hitting PBs and getting stronger every single week. And I think there's just something, like you said about the pull-ups, like there's just something so empowering about like deadlifts are my favorite exercise. Like just being able to pick up twice my body weight off the ground is pretty cool. And I think just the resilience, like mentally and physically, that I've developed as well over the years of strength training just makes it so worthwhile. And it just makes it so fun to want to keep getting back into the gym and keep, you know, building on all the progress that I've been making previously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And seeing women that are like lifting these crazy weights and are so strong, I find that so inspiring. I think it goes against so much of like what we were led to believe growing up was like strong is masculine or strong isn't for women or like lifting weights isn't for women. Now I feel like there's so many women out there just like absolutely crushing it in the gym, and it's just so epic to see these women who are like inspiring the next generation as well.
Yeah, definitely. And a huge shift from like the aerobics 2 kilo weights that, you know, like my mum used to lift, and she would go to the gym and she'd be lifting like those baby weights. And now to be able to go into the gym, and like when I first started in the gym, I was like the only girl in the weight section. And now when I go to the gym, like there's so many girls there, women lifting like such heavy weights and really training hard. So it's definitely pretty cool to have seen that shift over the years as well.
Definitely. It's badass. But what about gyms? Like even now, I've been going to the gym my whole life practically. Like I first stepped into a gym when I was 12 years old. And now I'm 35, and I still, to this day, find stepping into a gym quite intimidating as a woman. And yes, there are a lot more women in there than what used to be there, but it's still like quite a scary space. And I know for a fact a lot of women feel that. So, as a trainer and someone who's spent a lot of time in the gym spaces, what do you think women can do to kind of overcome that intimidation?
I think and this is going to sound biased, but like I think having a strength program to follow is obviously going to be like one of the key things. Because if you can go into the gym and you've got like on the Femi app, you've got the strength program there, you know what you're doing, there's exercise videos, like you can get a really good idea of what you're doing before you even get in there. And I think that's a massive barrier for a lot of women is like going in and not knowing what to do. So definitely like having a training program to actually follow so that you know what you're doing and watching the video exercises so that when you get to it, you can actually have an idea of what's happening. And I think that helps with a bit of confidence. And then if you do have the opportunity to like go with a friend, that can definitely help. But I think the biggest, like the hardest thing is just getting there. So again, like if you've got the app or just getting over that first hurdle. And then also on top of that as well is like knowing that most people are also worried about what everyone else is thinking. So like you're going into the gym being like, oh, I'm worried that other people are going to like laugh at me because I don't know what I'm doing, or like they're going to be looking at me. But most other people are in the gym are either worrying the exact same thing, or they've been in that position before. And I think it's easy to forget that even all these women, like we've both been in the gym for a long time. We were both beginners at some stage. So everyone has been there. And honestly, like I see girls coming in and I can kind of tell that they are a little bit confused and they're a little bit insecure, but I'm like, fuck, that's epic. Like, good on you for getting in here and pushing past that barrier because it can be scary.
Well, I think everything you just said is super practical and definitely helps. I think having a program to follow and knowing what you're going in there to do does put my mind at ease slightly. I think the other thing that I found myself doing recently is like putting on funny podcasts and like putting on this podcast, putting my headphones in and going into the gym and getting lost in that podcast and like being able to kind of just like, I don't know, be entertained and be laughing to myself while I'm in the gym distracts me from what's going on. Because even though no one is probably even looking at me, it does feel like the whole gym is staring at me, and I'm like, oh no. And yeah, even as someone who's been there for a long time, I'm always like, oh, what are the trainers thinking? Do I like, is someone going to come over and try and tell me that my form isn't right or something, And I'm like, I mean, as a trainer, you tell me, do you think those things? Do you ever look at someone and you're like, should I go fix their form or maybe should I leave?
Yeah, like there's definitely times that I'll see people, and when I used to work in the gym, like I would always go up to women and be like, hey, like, do you mind if I give you some advice, or like, do you mind if I help you out? And I think there's always, as a coach, I think it's good if you actually ask for permission first. I don't like, and I've definitely been in the situation when you have like male coaches coming up and being like, hey, like, you need to do it this way. And like being a trainer, I was like, well, actually, I'm doing it this way because I'm trying to achieve like a slightly different goal. So I know it can be frustrating, but as a trainer, like I'm never looking at people and judging them and being like, oh, that's bad. Like they should be ashamed or like they should be embarrassed. It's like, oh, can I help this person? Do I think they actually want my feedback? And if I think if that's the case, like definitely I will go and help them. I've also had people like send me videos of them training in the gym, and I do that with a lot of my clients, to get them to send me videos so that you can get that feedback. And even just filming yourself to look back on it as well, I think that can be really helpful because you don't really know what your body's doing until you like see it from a different angle. And even for myself, I'm like, oh yeah, like I feel like I'm standing up tall or my elbows are up nice and high. And then you re-watch a video back and you're like, oh God, like that's definitely not what I look like. And it's not to like feel embarrassed or make you feel bad about it. It's just learning. Like it's just data. Whether you can do an exercise or not doesn't make you a good athlete. You're out there trying, and it's just data and it's just feedback that you can take on and learn from it. Because no one in the gym, like as soon as you leave, no one's really going to care what what you got up to. They're going to forget anyway. Like you've probably forgotten what everyone else is up to in the gym. So it's not that important. It's not that deep. And I think just remembering that is quite, just makes it a little bit more lighthearted, like you said, a little bit easier to go in and just like not take it too seriously. Go in, give it a go, and see what happens and learn from it.
It's so true, and no one actually cares. It's like, why do you care what people think of you? It is the constant voice in my head. Let it go. Nobody cares. But like going into gym is I'm pushing my barriers enough there. I don't know how I would feel about filming myself in the gym. I've done it once when no one else was in the gym. But other than that, I'm like, oh my God, no way. Because all I think is like, people are just going to think that I'm just like trying to film this to make a TikTok, you know? And I'm like, no, I genuinely just want to film this to see how I look.
The like selfie mode leaning up against the drink bottle, and you can kind of
Yeah.
put it at like on like an angle where it doesn't look like you're filming. I reckon that's a really good hack. And to
True.
be fair, like so many other people were actually looking at you being like, oh wow, she's brave enough to film herself in the gym. Like that's cool. I wish I had that confidence rather than being like, oh, she's filming for a TikTok. It's like actually she's confident. That's cool. Like I wish I could be like that. And it's interesting when you kind of flip it on its head. I did have a
I love
sorry,
that.
yeah, exactly. I was listening to a podcast this morning. I think it was a podcast this morning. And she was talking about like how we all actually want to be, we want to be seen and we want to feel loved, but we're all afraid of being seen. And I was like, oh, that really hits hard. And it's like, well, actually, maybe we do just need to be seen and show up as ourselves more in those spaces. And then, you know, like you never know, you might meet another woman at the gym who wants a friend for the gym and you guys can start training together. So, yeah, I
Oh my God, I
think there's
love
so
that.
much. So many benefits of just like putting yourself out there and like being in those spaces.
Yes, it's like we all want to be different, but then we're also scared of being different. Then we end up all just being the same. True.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's get into the science. So, for people who don't know, can you talk us through what's actually happening to our physiology when we are lifting weights?
Yeah, definitely. So when you head into the gym and you start lifting weights, your muscles are basically breaking down. And that's a good thing because when your muscles break down, they have to then rebuild, and your body goes, oh, we need to be stronger so that we can actually be able to do this next time without breaking down so much. So that's kind of at the like cellular level. When you lift weights, you feel your muscles working hard. There are like really tiny tears, not so much that you get injured, but just like tiny tears. And then when you recover in between your sessions, those tears basically rebuild, and that's what builds your muscle and makes you stronger. So yeah, that's basically what's happening.
Yes. Okay. And what about doing body weight exercises? Is it the same sort of process to the physiology?
I think that's a really good question. When you very, if you've never lifted weights or never done any resistance training, you can get the same effect with body weight versus lifting weights because it's not body weight versus weights. It's just like how much stress your muscles need to tear a little bit so that you can then adapt. If you've been doing body weight lunges for months and they feel really easy, you're probably not getting the same effect as if you started adding weights. But that doesn't mean that like the body weights is necessarily like not good. It just means that you've adapted and you're now strong enough that you need more of a stimulus to apply. When you think of things like body weight pull-ups, obviously you're having to hold your body weight. So it takes like it takes a lot more time to be able to get to a point where they're easy compared to like lunges. So I definitely find like some exercises, body weight is fine for most people for a very long period of time. But there are other exercises that you kind of quite quickly, you don't get enough stimulus to like cause your muscles to break down with body weight, such like hip thrusts. It's really easy when you're first starting out, they feel really hard and that is causing you or will help you get stronger. But you get to a point quite quickly, especially if you've been running for a long time, you have got some lower body strength that you actually do need to either add weights or do holds or tempos. And like there's a bunch of different ways that you can make it harder. But it's not necessarily body weight versus weights. It's just like, how can you create enough stimulus to get your muscles to grow and get stronger?
Yes, we love a hip thrust. I feel like I am trying to be really like on top of just my at home sort of recovery, particularly after the marathon. And I've been doing a lot of body weight hip thrusts at home, but I have been doing a lot of like holds, single leg stuff, long lever stuff to try and like really get into my hamstring. So I feel like the body weight stuff can also really help with form. Like if you
Yeah.
are doing like heavy weights to build strength, you can also complement it with body weight stuff, right? To like just improve your form as a runner.
Yeah, definitely. And even like using a lot of body weight stuff to like warm your body up or get your muscles prepped for when you are ready to use weights as well. I think that can be really helpful. But yeah, definitely don't need to neglect body weight stuff. I think you've just got to figure out I guess the right ways to do it. Like you said, you could move your feet away further away from you and that's going to hit your hamstrings. If you haven't been training your hamstrings, body weight's probably going to be plenty. But once you, again, once you've been doing it for a while and it gets easy, it's like, okay, well, how can you progress that and make it harder? But yeah, there's definitely some pretty good, especially like single leg exercises, plenty of body weight stuff that will, you know, be enough to really get your muscles working.
And then how do we take those adaptations we get from lifting weights or doing body weight stuff and apply that to our running from both, like, obviously a strength perspective, but also injury prevention?
Yeah, again, great question. So with this one, I'll start with like your running efficiency. So when you're doing like core exercises or like single leg work, things that are like balancing, anything that is basically like improving your posture as well, that strength and getting those muscles to work and be stronger and do more, like just do more of their job when you're running is going to help improve your posture when you are out on the trails or out on the road. So the better like aligned your body is, so the better posture you have, the more efficient you're going to be when you're running. If you have a stronger core, you're going to stay upright. That preserves energy compared to if you're like leaning forwards and can't stand up properly. So there's a big part of it that is just like developing the strength to be in good alignment when you go out running. And then the next part to it is like, well, when you get stronger legs, you can obviously you're going to have a stronger stride, especially if you're trying to go up hills. So when you're doing step ups, hip thrusts, all of that kind of thing, it really builds your hip extension. So that's basically like when you bring your knee up in front of you to when you drive down towards the ground, that's what gives you your power and your stride. So the stronger we are, the more explosive we are, or the more of those like elements we build in the gym, that applies straight away to your running because it's just going to be part of your stride. So every single stride is going to be further, is going to be a little bit longer, and you get more distance. So you're going to be able to run further using less energy.
And the injury prevention piece, injury. What is it that can, I guess what we're doing in the gym, how that prevents injury?
So I think a big part of that does like rely on the alignment. So it's not just making you more efficient as a runner, but if you are, say, you've got like one leg that's stronger than the other, your body is going to compensate. Or if you don't have a strong core, you're probably going to swing your arms a lot more. The, I guess like out of alignment's not quite the right word, but it's kind of the easiest way to explain it. So with that, if your body is having to compensate, or if you don't have a strong core and you're like rocking from side to side or you're rotating, that's going to put a lot more stress on like your hips or your shins and your knees than you necessarily need to. And a lot of the time that's when you end up getting like overuse injuries. So by building strength and improving your posture or improving the way that you're like alignment, it's just going to take the load off your joints and tendons and ligaments and mean that your muscles are actually doing the work. And that's what's going to help prevent injuries, especially long term.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Just to go back to that efficiency piece, I feel like we've kind of in the sport of athletics more so, but ranging distances from the 100 meter to the marathon or even ultras now, I feel like we've kind of been led to believe that those 100, 200, 400 meter runners need to be doing more strength training because they need to be more powerful, which is true completely. But I see so many marathon runners who are like, I'm just a marathon runner. I don't need to do strength training because all I need to do is run. But when you speak about the efficiency piece and actually being able to hold your form over a long period of time, it makes a lot of sense because I think even myself, I've had a hamstring tendinopathy that I've been dealing with for about 10 years and I can't seem to quite get rid of it. But I know like at the back end of a marathon or even a long run in training, my form does go, you know, and I know that it's something that I need to work on and improve because over a marathon, if it's the last 10Ks, I'm losing so much of my stride and so much of my power to get through that. And then obviously my pace drops off the back of that and it has a huge impact on my marathon time. So even as marathoners and ultra marathoners, particularly for trail runners going over hills, strength training is so important. So let's talk about a plan, because for me, I have been going to the gym, particularly over the last 5 years, going to the gym, do the same exercises. I might change my reps and sets based on where I'm at in my training block or where my cycle is, but I've been pretty much doing the same thing for a long time. And what I think I've found is that yes, I've been consistently strong throughout that time, but I haven't made a lot of progress and I haven't really been following a plan. I just have kind of had my core movements, go and do them, leave the gym. But there is a huge emphasis on having a plan and it's really important. And I'm really excited to chat about the Femi Strength plans because I'm excited to see progress in my own training. But can you talk about the importance of having a plan for strength as well as running?
Yeah, I think it's obviously so important to have a proper plan because most of us are like, especially as runners, you need a running plan. You're interested in running, you're learning about running, and then it's like, oh, you also need to learn all the stuff about strength. And it's like, well, when do you actually have the time to do your own research? So following a plan that's actually structured is super important, and finding one that is actually tailored to what you're trying to achieve. Again, really important. Like you could get a bodybuilding plan, and that's not necessarily you're going to be in the gym, but it's not necessarily going to be helping towards your running. In terms of actually following a plan, I think it's really easy to save a bunch of TikTok videos and be like, yeah, these are strength plans. And people often do the opposite to what you've done and jump from different plan to plan, or they want heaps of variation. And if you don't stick to the same exercises, it's really hard. You see some progress, but you'll see a lot more progress if you repeat the same exercises for a period of time and get the absolute most out of those exercises, because you can progressively overload. And that's a really key part of strength training, is that you need to be increasing your weights or making it harder every single week so that your body continues to adapt. And so again, having a plan that doesn't wreck you and can actually complement your running program is really important, because again, a bodybuilding program will probably make your legs really, really sore, and that's going to impact your running. So with the Femi strength plans, we want to make sure that you are basically hitting some strength, doing enough work to create some adaptations to get you stronger, but leaving you in a position where you can still show up and go for a run the next day and your legs aren't too gassed out. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. And then I guess just to touch on like what you've said about doing the exact same things, I think with running, if you were training to squat and to be a really strong squatter, like you were weightlifting, you'd have to squat every single phase for years to get really good at squatting. With running, that's not necessarily the case. And I find sometimes as well, if you just stick to the same movements, you miss out on like a range of different planes. So if you're always only ever doing like a forward lunge, you're not actually working your glutes and hamstrings as much. You could be doing like a lateral lunge, which is really beneficial with your like when you're running, because you need your the outsides of your hips to be strong as well to support you every time you land. So if you're only ever doing like straight forwards or backwards lunges, you're kind of missing out on that whole plane. But again, like I said, you don't want to be jumping between them every single session and changing it up every single time. You kind of want to pick a few exercises, focus on that, get really, really strong, and then change up kind of like the direction or the way that you're loading. And I think that's really beneficial for runners, is to have that variation, because especially ultra runners, like you're not always just running. Obviously, if you're a 100-meter runner, you run in a straight line, but there's not many other distances that run it. Like you can go that far in a straight line. There's curves, or if you're an ultra runner, you're going to be jumping on rocks and you know there's change in direction. You need to be strong in different directions as well, and your body needs to be able to support you so that you're not having to like come back from like leaning over. You're like able to bounce from rock to rock and climb up the hills as fast as you can.
Yeah, I love that. And I also just think it's like so empowering to be nimble and to be agile. And to I always like see these videos of these people like bouncing around and running around and doing flips and stuff. And I'm like, I feel so inspired by that. I want to be that person who can kind of do everything and be able to move in all directions and feel strong doing it. So it's not only good for your performance, but I think it's good for your confidence and just like feeling empowered in your body as well. Can you touch a little bit more on progressive overload and talk about your theory of progressive overload, how you approach it, and how we kind of see that come to life through the Femi strength plans?
Yeah. So basically, progressive overload just means that you need to, and it's the same with running. Whatever your plan is, when you're trying to get fitter, you're trying to get stronger, you need to make sure that you continue to adapt your body and increase the intensity of the stress you're putting on your body, so that your body will continue to adapt. Because if we think about it with like when your muscles start to break down and then they repair, if you only ever do body weight squats, they become easy and your body gets more like efficient at it. You're no longer challenging your body. So progressive overload just basically means you need to somehow make the exercises harder as you progress from week to week. And if someone's a beginner, you'll be able to make quite big jumps from week to week initially, especially as you get more confident with the movements. And then as you get more advanced, it gets a little bit harder. But you can progressively overload by adding weight, which is the mostly straightforward. You can also increase the reps. So with using the same weights, you could do one or two more reps. And with the Femi app, like, it is designed so that you follow the same exercises for enough weeks to increase the weights each time. So the first time you ever do an exercise, you're obviously going to be a little bit more conservative. When you've got a new training block, you kind of want to go a little bit easier to make sure that you get your technique right. And then we progressively overload from week to week, increasing the weights on the same exercises.
Yeah, epic. And it's broken into 4-week blocks. So every four weeks you will get new exercises. And that also like adds that progressive overload because you're doing different exercises that potentially should be harder.
Yes.
Epic. And what about a question I get all the time from my athletes is how can they balance strength training with all the running training and what are the right days to do their strength on if they're also running a lot? And it's super individual, obviously. There's some of my athletes who run 2 to 3 times a week and there's some who are doing 7 days a week. So what would you say is kind of the right amount of strength training to do alongside your running is the first question. And then the second one is what days would you suggest them to do strength training on?
So I highly recommend doing 2 to 3 sessions. Most of the women that I work with, 2 is plenty, but I do also work with some who would rather do 3 strength training sessions. It just depends on your overall load because it's more about like your overall load, whether you can recover from it or not. So if you can recover from 3 runs and 3 strength sessions, that's perfect for you. If you can't, something needs to pull back. And you can always increase it as well. I think people often like jump in and they're like, oh, I need to be doing like a strength program with 3 sessions and I need to be running this many times a week. And it's like, well, actually, you'd be better off just starting off your strength training with 1, making sure you can like incorporate that. And then once you're feeling good with that, then you can add a 2nd. So there's never like I feel like I say this all the time. My answer is always it depends because it depends on like your training context and how much you can recover from and how much time you actually have. But I do think the sweet spot for fitting in like running and strength training is trying to aim for that 2 sessions a week. 3 if you can, if you have the time and the recovery capacity. But I think it's more important that you think about your overall load. If you're already running 7 days a week and you're trying to add strength in, maybe you do need to drop a run to fit those strength sessions in. You can't just add it on top without increasing your food, increasing your recovery, and expect all to be well. But you might find that adding strength training means you can actually increase your running capacity as well because your body's able to handle it. But it just takes time and to incorporate it. But yeah, always coming back to that, like 2 times a week is the sweet spot, but just be careful of like your overall load. In terms of what days to incorporate it, again, I'll start with just like in general, it depends. If running is your priority, you need to make sure that you're running, especially your hard sessions, on fresh legs. If you're in a period of your life where you'd prefer to focus on strength training, you can prioritize your strength sessions and do them before you do like a speed session. So again, it kind of depends, but obviously most of the women listening here are going to be runners, so they're focusing on running. You don't want to be doing a strength session right before a speed session because obviously you're going to do your speed session on really tired legs and you're going to miss out on some of the quality in that session. So I think often we kind of say, you want to make your hard days hard and your easy days easy. So backing up, doing like a speed session and then your strength session, or again, it depends how many sessions you're doing as well. I feel like I hate trying to answer this because it's like, just depends. If you're only doing a couple of runs, you can just alternate and that's totally fine. If you do have a lot of sessions, you want to make sure, again, make your hard days hard, easy days easy, but still make sure you're getting enough recovery and enough food in around those sessions that you can actually recover from it. But yeah, prioritizing your runs and then fitting in the strength, I guess, like where you can, where it's not going to impact your kind of fast sessions or harder sessions for the running.
Yeah, I think the key word there is recovery because you just don't want to like plateau all of your training because you're not getting enough recovery in between both your running and your strength sessions. It's better to like load it up. So I try to tell people to have a rest day between your strength and then your next hard run. And when we say hard run, if you're following a program in the Femi app, we're talking about your speed sessions, your steady runs, or your long runs. Having a day between strength and those would be like the optimal way to train. We'll chat through our strength programs in a bit more detail before we go into industry fads. So do you want to just chat through how the Femi strength programs work in terms of we've got at home and in the gym?
Yeah, so at home stuff is definitely more body weight focused, or you can add dumbbells, obviously going to be more suited to if you are at home. And then in the gym option is obviously you're going to be have access or have the option to use more machines, barbells, and some of those bigger weights and things like that. So that's kind of the home versus gym. I guess it is pretty straightforward when you think about it. And then in terms of how the actual workouts are set up, so we start off, there's kind of like a bit of a warm up, which is more about like movement prep. Like as I like to say, so it's kind of just like setting your body up to have the right muscles activated, the right joints kind of lubricated to get into your heavy lifting, because you don't just want to jump straight into big lifts. Definitely you're going to be more likely to be injured, but you're also not going to get, again, the quality out of the lifts unless as you would if you were kind of like warmed up and ready for it. Then your first block is going to be kind of like your big lifts, they're your main lifts, and then we go into a second block, which is still main lifts, but a little bit more accessory work, and then we have a finisher. So depending on, ideally you get through all of it, but if you are running short on time, focusing on those main lifts is going to be really, really key. And all of the exercises are obviously going to be tailored to making sure you're a stronger runner. So a lot of unilateral work, single leg work, building up your lower body strength, but also making sure that you're touching on core and upper body stuff to really help with your posture as well.
I have been testing the programs out over the last couple of months in the gym, and honestly it's been so nice having a program that is different to what I'm usually doing and also pushes me to explore the gym a little bit more, find new moves, find new pieces of equipment, and like don't just go straight to the squat rack and stay there the entire time. And so that's been really fun. I feel like with the finishes, I'm still working my confidence up to like do a lot of like the plyo work in the gym where you're like jumping or hopping or skipping. It's something I wouldn't usually do when I step into a gym, but it is really beneficial. So I think it's good. Like it definitely tests me and pushes me, and I feel like I'm making progress in other ways that I haven't made before. So the programs also are all aligned to your running programs. So when you set up a running focus, you'll set up a strength focus, and it will adapt to your running plan in a way that first week will be an intro week to strength, so it won't be too intense because we're just wanting you to get used to the movements. And then it will also taper you. So if you're heading towards a race, not everyone is, but for those who are, it will taper you towards your race, which I think is really important. And again, a question we get asked all the time is how they kind of reduce their strength training alongside their running as they head into a race. So the plan will do all of that for you. And then on top of that, we also have all these cues that, again, is all about just building your confidence in the gym, like ways to improve the move or make the most out of the move, how to set up when you're doing the move in the gym or even at home, which is just like all very useful and helpful information. We actually have audio cues coming very soon as well, which is exciting. They don't currently exist in that, but they are coming. Because, yeah, I think based off our own experience and knowing how scary the gym can be, and especially if you don't know what you're doing, we just want to give you all the tools we possibly can give you so you can go in and have a good experience and then keep going back and get that sustainability in your training. Awesome. All right, I'm going to hit you with some industry fag questions, because I feel like both of us have been in the fitness industry for a long time and we have kind of lived through quite a few fads, and it is something that at no woman's fault of their own, but we get sucked into them because they're kind of been shoved down our throat as like the best way to train or the perfect way to train. And unfortunately, in the fitness industry for women, a lot of it has been based on how we look and losing weight and getting a six pack or toning up or whatever you might want to call it. So we want to break it down to take a more, I guess, holistic approach to our training and step away from the way that we look and focus on how can we build the most sustainable relationship with movement. So let's kind of jump into them. I'd love to just chat through like the evolution of them. So from like 2010 to 2020s, it was very much that like high intensity training era where I feel like all women kind of got sucked into doing high intensity. Did you get sucked into this? What did you kind of see throughout that era?
Yeah, I definitely, and I think it's so hard with high intensity because we obviously need intensity, like we need our hard runs and we need that, but the problem was we just weren't recovering enough in between. And I find like a lot of the kind of like group fitness classes that were doing like high intensity work weren't really getting you super strong because they weren't giving you enough rest in between times. And you weren't actually able to train like at a good intensity to get really good. But then you also were training too hard to kind of build your aerobic base as well. So it was like this middle ground. And I think, again, it was also off the back of like dieting 2000s. You've got to, you know, the Vogue diet of eating like one egg and a piece of lettuce kind of thing. So also just like a big problem with that was just we just weren't eating enough either. And I think it was a progression from like the aerobics. It was like, oh, you know, women do need a strength train, but we're still going to do it in this like aerobics environment, like the body pump classes and kind of things like that. And I think there's a time and a place. I think if you've never exercised before, some of those group classes can be epic because it gives you a space where you're like in a good community. But again, it comes back to what's your training goals? Are you actually eating enough to be training that hard every single day? Because most of the time you don't really need to be. That's why it's so good with like the Femi running. It's like you have 2 or 3 hard sessions a week and that's plenty. Like you don't need more than that because your body just can't actually recover to the point that you're actually going to make the right gains that you're trying to achieve. So yeah, I think it's kind of like they took a little bit of a good thing and they've pushed it too far. And I feel like that's almost happened with everything that, because again, if you push something too far, it's going to end up being detrimental to your health or you're going to have to sacrifice something. So I think that definitely went too far because everyone was trying to do these like hard classes 6-7 times a week and even doing double sessions and then wondering why they're always feeling cooked. You've got anxiety and you feel like shit all the time. It's like your body just doesn't need to be training at that intensity that often throughout a week. So yeah. I guess. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I feel like that area was very much around just like burning calories. Like the higher intensity you can train, the more calories you're essentially going to burn, and the more calories you're going to burn, the more weight you're going to lose. Like that was definitely the story that I was being told. And I got sucked into that entire era as well of like, I'm going to go and do all my running, but then on top of that, I'm also going to do all these high intensity classes. And then I started boxing, which I loved, but I initially stepped into boxing because of like the high intensity training side and then fell in love with it and ended up doing a fight. So my kind of relationship with boxing changed from like doing it to burn calories and lose weight to like actually just doing it because I loved hitting things. The whole like counting calories, burning calories, I feel like very much aligned to that era of high intensity training in like the 2010 to 2020s.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like all the fitness watches and all of that. It's like, well, how many I've got to burn this many calories in a day to like earn my food, rather than being like, well, I need to train at a certain intensity to get stronger or to get faster, but then I need to pull back and I need to recover from it and I need to have breaks in between that. I think they've really missed the point of like using intensity for the benefits you can get from it and using recovery and things like that, which is kind of sad because it's hard. I feel like it has been demonized, but it's also been like pushed too far in one way. And like, yeah, the burning, you do not need to train to burn calories. That drives me mental when people are like still tracking all their calories and like, first of all, the watches aren't that accurate, but second of all, like you're not, if you're trying to get fitter, like how many calories you burnt in the session is completely irrelevant to, you know, getting aerobically fit, being able to run faster and things like that. And when you put all the focus on just like how many calories you've burnt, you like kind of miss the point of all these other qualities and all these other benefits that you actually are getting out of your training. Which,
Yes. Oh my gosh, I couldn't agree more. I'm so glad that you brought that up because I think that all of that is so true. And then we kind of went from like talking of extremes, we went from this high intensity era of everyone just like smashing themselves every day to what we would call now as Pilates princess era, which I think from like 2020 to 2024, Pilates like completely blew up. Everyone was doing Pilates and we saw all these women on, you know, social media who didn't do anything else, no lifting weights, no running, no high intensity. All they did was Pilates and they really promoted that. What is your kind of take on those Pilates princesses? I say that in the nicest way possible, but that's the like social media speak.
I think it's really interesting because I feel like we kind of went from like the 2000s where everyone wanted to be like stick thin and have like flat stomachs and we're all wearing like low riser jeans and not eating anything to like high intensity training where we like the idea was that we were trying to train a bit harder and like actually be athletic. And now it's like almost flipped back to this like, no, it's actually way cooler to be really skinny and have no muscle and not be athletic anymore. And I just think that's quite an interesting trend that it's kind of like bounced back almost. And a lot of the time as well, it's almost promoting that same like diet culture that to be a Pilates princess, you want to be tiny and you want to be small again. So I think that's the first thing that I get frustrated with is these fads. It's like just trying to control like how women see themselves. But with the Pilates, I think I love Pilates. And again, to a point, I think if it's the only thing you're doing, then you're definitely missing out on some aerobic training. You're missing out on a lot of cardio training, and you're also missing out on some really heavy strength training. If you aren't training for anything, then I think you might be able to get away with it. But I think if it's not necessary, like it kind of gets pushed as like the one, you know, you need it for everything. And it can be really good for training some small muscles because of the way, especially the reformer and the way that you're training. When you're using tiny little muscles and you're really getting into awkward positions, it can train some smaller muscles, which a lot of people do need help with. But in saying that as well, there's a difference between actually building strength in a muscle and building a muscle and just doing enough really light reps that it burns. You're not necessarily building strength. Like, yes, it hurts. Yes, you're getting a burn, but you're actually going to get more power and more speed and more explosiveness if you're lifting heavy weights rather than just doing like lots of reps. So there's a time and a place for it, but I think we need to also make sure we are. Again, there's so many different attributes to getting fit and being healthy and being strong, and you need all of that to help you be a faster, better runner. And Pilates is almost just like one tiny little aspect of things that you could be doing, and we miss out on everything else. So it's an interesting one. I think the Pilates, everyone got really behind because we were also stressed out and our bodies were so cooked. So that lower intensity was great. Yes, everyone got better results because they were flipping from such an extreme. But I still think we need to figure out somewhere in the middle. Like, you need some intensity, but you also need some like lower intensity stuff as well. And I also, one other thing before I shut up Pilates, is the actual guy that created Pilates is going to absolutely hate all of these different versions of Pilates. So you kind of see like different Pilates studios being like, yeah, we strength train. And it's like, yeah, but you're still doing like 40 reps with the weight. That's not strength training. That's endurance training, which yes, has a place, but it's still not strength training. And it's not Pilates either. So it's just this awkward like hybrid, which I don't know. It's interesting.
Talk about hybrid training very soon. But yeah, I feel like the Pilates world don't come at us. But they're just a very passionate group of people who love Pilates. And I do think you're right in that people turned to Pilates and almost said, you know, well, we ruined our hormones doing high intensity training, which is true. I speak from my own experience.
Yeah.
But I don't think just doing Pilates is going to like help your hormones that much. You know, like strength training also helps with your hormones too, and so does running. So
eating enough and recovering between sessions.
Yeah. And you mentioned like the data that we're seeing now from our devices and from our watches, and 2025 I believe has been a really big year of like data driven training and people getting really quite detailed in their data. What is your thoughts on that, and how do you think we should be building healthy relationships with the data that we now have access to?
I think there's a time and a place, and I think they're just tools, and there's been a really, like, there's no one thing that is like the ultimate thing that's going to fix all your problems and achieve everything that you need. Like the same with training, there are different tools that you can use to get where you need to be. And I think the danger almost comes from leaning or relying too much on one tool and trusting the data too much and then not listening to your body. So I think the important thing is to find like a balance. Use the tools that you've got to get information about your body, to learn things. But again, like, take it all with a grain of salt and have a think about like the bigger picture. So an example, like with my PhD, the girls were using Whoops to analyze like their sleep and their recovery. And some days they'd wake up feeling really good and their recovery would be really like poor. Other days they would wake up feeling really shit, but their recovery would be really, really good. If they had a game to show up, a couple of them would like come to me and be like, Bex, like my recovery is really low, but I feel good. Like, what do I do? And I'm like, well, if you feel good, like, go for it. How do you need to show up? If it's like the other way around, okay, well, the data's telling me I feel good. You know, like, use that to your advantage. So I think in a way, it's like, if you can use that data to help you move forwards and to help you achieve a goal, that's great. If it's becoming to a point where it's too obsessive or it's harming you or it's becoming like just having any type of negative effect, then obviously like that's not good. But I think we need to be able to like zoom out and, you know, like look at things with a bigger perspective as like, okay, what is helping me achieve my goals? What's actually being harmful and how can I step away from that and use whichever tools are actually like benefiting me, if that makes sense. I think on top of that as well, like a lot of the data, there's not that much research, like a lot of the devices aren't necessarily that accurate. So if it is telling you that you've had a really bad sleep, but you felt like you had a really good sleep, I'd blame the device over like being like, oh, actually I had a bad sleep, I'm going to feel like shit today, because that's just like not really going to help you. So yeah, there's definitely like that a huge room for error, and the devices are slowly getting there. It is improving, it's getting better, but there is a big part to that. There is still, yeah, a lot of error. So wouldn't rely on it too much, but you can just use it as a tool to help you like achieve what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. I use my Apple Watch, and to be completely honest, I'm obsessed with it. Like, I'm obsessed with tracking my sleep. I wake up every morning and look at how well I've slept. I'm not looking at any like other sleep data. I'm just like literally looking at the amount of hours, and I can see and I can remember when I woke up in the night and like checked my phone or checked my watch, and like it's, to be honest, it's pretty accurate, which is kind of scary, but also like interesting. But I think as coaches, like we obviously work to programs, and all of our programs are data, like we're giving prescribed paces, you know, and times for things in sessions. And I think even as a runner, you have to be somewhat flexible with that. Like we obviously are giving you these as a guide to train to in order to make progress. But like, if you aren't feeling good one day, then you don't have to sit within the paces that we've given you. Or if you're feeling really good some days, maybe you could push it a little bit harder than what we're saying. Like, don't be so rigid that you have to stick to the exact numbers that you've got in your program, because that also takes away the fun of just like training and understanding your body and listening to your body and knowing when you can go hard and not go hard. Like, there is beauty in all of that as well as an athlete, so don't get too consumed with the data. And then the last kind of training method, or I guess let's call it a fad because it's huge at the moment, is HYROX. What is your kind of take on HYROX, both like from a training perspective, but also a competing perspective?
Look, I'll start with like, in the long run, like I would love to do a HYROX competition. I think it's epic because I am a runner with my, in my background, and I have also strength trained. So I think I've got a good advantage.
Definitely.
It does make me laugh though, because I'm like, it's literally just strength and conditioning. Like, yes, they've rebranded strength and conditioning, which athletes have been doing for years and years and years and years and years. Like, and that, it's cool. I love that everyone's like getting involved, but the fact that it kind of is being promoted as this like special type of training, like if you're a runner and you also strength train, like you're literally hybrid training. You're doing a little bit of both. So I love it, but I also hate it, and it frustrates me.
I think it would be fun to do a competition because, yeah, I've heard that like, it's the runners that tend to do the best, and I'm like,
definitely, you need it. It's a long way to run. Like, if you can't run, you're gonna struggle. I think it does, again, it becomes harmful when people are trying to do like a full running program and a full gym program together, and it just comes back to your like overall load. Your body can't adapt from that much, so you'd be better off like either, you know, dropping the running or dropping the strength and trying to you need programs that like complement each other rather than just like trying to throw it all on top. I've generally worked with like, or spoken to a lot of people who are like, say, training 5 or 6 times a week in a group training class environment. And then they're like, oh, and I've just added this run program on top. And I'm like, that's so much training. And they're wondering why they're getting like sore Achilles, they're getting sore knees. And I'm like, you're literally just like, body can't keep up with all of it. So I think it's really important if you are wanting to do like that kind of training, is to actually just make sure you're balancing it properly and eating enough. And also running, like if you've never run before and you've been in the gym, like you might be fit, but you're not ready to run. You need to start with like a run walk program, or like, what is it? The Learn to Love Running and the Femi app's a really good one, to actually build up your body's capacity to handle the impact, because the impact from running is completely different to what you can build in the gym. Like, you can do plyometric work and you can help get your body ready, but just suddenly jumping into like a full running program, you're probably going to get injured. And that's probably the biggest part that I get frustrated with, is that people just kind of underestimate the impact that running has. And it's like, it's great because it does build your bones, but if you're jumping into it too quickly, or you're adding a full running program on top of like a full strength program, you're obviously going to run into issues. And that's probably like the biggest issue that I have with all of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think if I was coaching someone for High Rocks, I would, most people, unless they've grown up as a competitive runner, I would get them to just focus on their running, to be honest, because your running's also going to help build strength. And yes, there are like particular moves you've got to do in a High Rocks competition that you should train, definitely. This is not saying don't train them, but I would probably focus on just building your aerobic base through your running, like Beck said, in a really sustainable and healthy way, gaining strength from that along the way and doing, you know, strength on the side. Because I think for the High Rocks, like you said, if you can't run, then you're kind of screwed. Like it's much harder than trying to like be, if you're a runner, and then move through some of those other movements that you probably are somewhat capable of doing from the gains that you've made in your running training.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Also, do you know what High Rocks actually stands for?
It's Hybrid Rockstar or something. So lame.
It is, which makes me laugh even more. But this is not to bag High Rocks athletes. I am probably going to do a High Rocks at some point. I just find it hilarious. These fans.
We have to do one together.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I just find fitness fads really fascinating. So what do you think are the next trends that are coming? Do you have any kind of insights?
Look, I would love if people just figured out that we just need a little bit of everything and things in moderation would be unreal. I'm honestly not sure. It'll be interesting to see, because I think like High Rocks has almost jumped off the back of like F45 being really like big, and it was like almost that next step. So whether or not kind of CrossFit, like CrossFit's always been around for a while, but I don't think people were ready like to make that jump. And so I feel like High Rocks has kind of been that really beautiful kind of like in between, where like you can be a runner and just do a bit of strength training, or you can be a strength trainer and get better at running, whereas CrossFit was kind of a big jump. So it'll be interesting to see if it progresses that far, or if that's still kind of like a big step for everybody. I think a lot of like strong Pilates that's also incorporating some cardio training, like that kind of thing, is probably going to pop off a little bit more. I just find Pilates classes so expensive for like what you actually get. And that's not to bag Pilates, because I know they have like small classes and obviously to make it like financially viable. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll just continue to be like a hybrid mix. I think that's what people are enjoying, which is kind of cool. It's a bit of strength training, a bit of cardio training, like, you know, find a way that you can move that you enjoy, and just stick with it. I think that's probably what people should aim for, rather than trying to focus on a fad.
Yeah, definitely. I look at, from a running perspective, like trail running is like, it's already booming.
Popping off, yeah.
To grow, I believe. And then from like a gym fad, it's definitely High Rocks. So merging those two into more like obstacle course races, I think that's probably quite a big thing around the world in the future. I did one in the Mount probably about 4 or 5 years ago now, the Ultimate Athlete, which was a 10K run, but broken up into sections of running and then sections of doing movements. And it was so fun. It was really hard, but it was kind of like a High Rocks, but outside. And I actually like, we went around the mount. It was like beautiful, like such a cool way to do a race, you know? So I definitely think that is kind of the future of racing, of like fitness.
Yeah, definitely.
Like big fitness festivals are now like popping off, where you're doing like all forms of like training and all these different modalities in one place across like a few days, which is also pretty cool. If you've got like a day here and stuff, it's better than going getting wasted. But it's exciting. Like obviously there is a huge future for fitness, and just like to be part of that is like a real privilege, and we're so lucky to have you on our team, Bex, and just like guiding us on what's right. And obviously yourself and S leading the programs is really exciting. So thank you so much for all the effort you guys put in to bring those to life. And I know our community are so hyped. We've already had so many people sign up. So shout out to everybody who's already set up a strength program. But if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us on Instagram at femi.co. But we will tag Bex into our show notes as well. So go ahead and give her a follow and follow. She's doing her PhD at the moment, which we're going to get you back to like deep dive into all the research and all the findings that you have gained through your PhD. But in the meantime, thank you so much, Bex, and we'll chat to everybody soon.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.